Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your prayer. Okay, so we're looking here at some of the events of the last week, and this is where we left off last week, and this is where we're pretty much going to wrap it up, and this is where we're going to finish more likely this topic. But we need to do a slow review or fast review of what we saw last week, and then we're going to focus on the Friday, what happened from Gethsemane to the cross. So I've been learning a lot as far as to how to present these classes, and for this particular class, I did not go into any commentary or any other book except just for reading the text, because we have four gospel accounts telling us a big picture of what happened from Gethsemane to the cross, also from all the last, from the last week of Jesus' ministry. So, this is what we're gonna do, today. And, so this is what I basically did is, just read the text, and I'm not gonna make any further comment, but just to see an overview of what happened, the last days, especially on Friday, which is the focus of today's lesson. And then we'll be ready to finish. Okay, let me just try one last time, and then that will be really okay. Maybe it's working. Let's see. All right, looks like it's working. All right, very good. Let's see. All right. Right, no more laptop. Okay, very good. Okay, so this is just an overview. I made a minor changes, or rather, some other changes from last week's presentation as far as the timeline we have there, and hopefully you pick up on some of the differences I made, some of the changes. But okay, let's go to a first thing. I have we're going to start on Friday. And we're going to go all the way to the other Friday, from Friday to Friday. Okay, so we call that 8 days in our modern language. We say in eight days, it will be Sunday again. That's the way we see it, but we're going to see the way they see it, as far as at least the way is mentioned by John. Notice, this is for Friday before Friday, which was the day Jesus was crucified. So we're a week before. And John 12:1 says that it was 6 days before the Passover, okay? And what happened is that we have, let's say Friday begins today, but it doesn't count the day until next day, which is Saturday. So Saturday is the first day, Sunday the second day, Monday the third, Tuesday the fourth, Wednesday the fifth, and then Thursday the sixth. So that's 6 days before Passover. So that's the way where John is counting the days. And so that Thursday, it's in the evening, is when Passover begins. So that would be 6 days before the Passover that John is talking about, and the way we're going to see it here. And there's some other examples there, as Matthew 17:1 and Mark 9:2, when they went up into the mountain to pray for the transfiguration, they counted the days differently. But they're meaning still the same amount of time. Some of them counted the days in between, just like John, and some counted the days not in between, but also the day before and the day after. And then it makes a different count. But that's the way they do it, and there's no problem. Okay, so first thing that happens is that, I notice on the square, I have Friday and Friday. But notice, almost at the bottom, I have Friday night. I should have put Friday evening instead of Friday night. Friday night means more deep into the night. But Friday evening is when the sun goes down, and then that begins the next day for the Jewish. So I'm going to just be pointing out those lines there as we move along. So every square is going to be divided like that. So we have Friday, all Friday for us, but for the Jews it was Friday and then Saturday. That same square we see there, okay? So Jesus, what happens first, and I'm going to move quickly here as a review. Jesus arrives to, and he's feasted at Bethany. And we see that it's Simon the leper's house. But notice, I didn't When I was in school of preaching, Brother Elkins pointed this out to me, but I didn't pay attention. But you can confuse this with, okay, that's where it was. But you can confuse it with another account that Luke tells us about, Luke 7:36 through 50, which is another time. It's not the same woman crying and wiping Jesus' feet. It's two different women here. Luke 7:36 through 50 is one woman, and the one we find in John 12, that's Mary, Martha's sister. Both sisters of Lazarus, just these two different women. So I put that caution, do not confuse with Luke 7:36 through 50. In my Bible, I just made that note and just made sure I wouldn't confuse those two ladies. Okay? All right, now we move Saturday. Do you notice how when the line begins Saturday, it's all blank? Do you happen to think why? And we're going to see another Saturday, and it's mostly going to be blank. And I think you know why. Why did they celebrate it on Saturday, beginning our Friday night? It's a Sabbath day. It's a commandment. So we're not going to see any action, a lot of action, except for the Jewish rulers. They did move that Saturday. I don't know if they violated the law, but they did move that Saturday, and we're going to see that when we get to the next Saturday, here on the screen. Okay? Now, that continues the Saturday. That's our Saturday. But then that's Jewish Sunday in the evening. Okay? Now, no events register again on that Saturday. From the morning onto the evening. No events as far as that Saturday. Okay? Now, what happens next? We move to Sunday, and remember Sunday, what happens on Sunday? Which major event happens? Jesus is staying at Bethany. Remember, he's feasted at Bethany, he stayed at Bethany, and then he leaves Bethany on Sunday morning and goes to where? To Jerusalem, and he's riding a donkey. And he comes to Jerusalem. And then we're not gonna see any details on this account. I'm just giving you an overview of what happened. And then if at least we can see which events happened which day and get an overview, and then that will be really good for this class. Okay? Now, after that, notice he went into the temple. After that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he goes into the temple. And the Bible tells us that he looked around. He looked around on all things. He looked around. And we don't have any other description, but other than he looked around. Now notice this. As the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. See, it's getting late on that Sunday, and then it's time to go back to Bethany. Okay, that's what Mark tells us. And that's another day. That's a Sunday. So basically what happened is that the excitement was really high because people were receiving Jesus with palms, and then they were shouting, Hosanna, the son of David. And then they were hoping or maybe thinking he was going to establish the kingdom right then. But then he just looked around, and when it was late, let's go. No early kingdom, no rioting, no revolting against Caesar or anything. And then maybe people were just disappointed. But, and that's not all. We move to Monday. Notice, we have in the text, in the morning, the next day. Okay, he goes back and sleeps, and he comes back to Jerusalem, and on his way to Jerusalem, what did he see? He sees what kind of tree? A fig tree. He finds it on the way. But then what happens? This fig tree is barren. No figs. No fruit. And some commentators mention that it wasn't fig tree season. But, and they also mentioned that Jesus was hungry. He might have left Bethany early before breakfast or something, but he was hungry. He comes and he curses the fig tree. And then he goes into the temple, and what happens? And notice I put second cleansing. It's not the second account of one cleansing. It's the second cleansing of the temple. The first one, and again, note, and do not confuse the second cleansing with the first cleansing of the temple that happened 3.5 years ago. That's two cleansings. John tells us about it, and you have John 2:13-25. That's the first cleansing of the temple, right off the bat, at the beginning of John. Okay, so do not confuse. This is the last week. And we might draw a lot of conclusions or try to find practical applications how from the beginning and the end of his ministry, he cleans the temple. Makes us think of that it matters the way we worship. It matters to God, to Jesus Christ, and of course to the Holy Ghost. Okay, now notice I made a comment there, and when the evening had come, now that's Jewish Tuesday. Still our Monday, but that begins Jewish Tuesday. He went out into the out of the city. Now this time we're not told he went to Bethany. He went somewhere else to sleep. He might have gone somewhere else, but he didn't go back to Bethany that particular day. At least they don't tell us that. Okay, now we move, continue on Tuesday. Notice Mark 11:20 in the morning. Okay, and still Tuesday for us. Okay, what happened that Tuesday? Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to focus on, because there's not enough room. Tuesday is a busy day, so I'm just going to focus there. Remember, it's Tuesday, but I'm just going to zoom in. You're not going to see the word Tuesday, but I'm going to show you the events. Okay, he comes back on Tuesday again, back to Jerusalem, to the temple. And remember, he's spending a lot of time at the temple, teaching people. These are his last days. He's giving it all he has, teaching. And doing all this, and this fig tree is also an object lesson for his disciples and for us today. So the fig tree is withered. It's dead. Miraculously. Okay, now he gives them another group of parables, as I was mentioning, the parable of the two sons, okay, and then the wicked husbandman, and then the parable of the marriage of the king's son. This happened at the temple court. This teaching, okay? After he saw the fig tree, he went into the temple, and there is three more parables that we have read before. I really like the one of the two sons. I use it all the time to explain what repentance means. But like I said, I didn't know where it belonged in the timeline. Now I know where it belongs in the timeline and who it can be referring to on the first instance. Okay, and there's three group of parables. Now, more events that happened that day. The rulers seek to ensnare Jesus. They said, we're going to put him in the horns of the dilemma. We're going to ask him questions, and we're going to get him. Remember, he's in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, where he has the most opponents. Remember, Galilee were just indifferent to him. Jerusalem was not indifferent. They were opposed to him. And it's an open antagonism that he receives. Okay, so first question, the Pharisees and Herodians ask about the tribute to Caesar. And this is going to be important because later, when they're accusing him, they're going to accuse him of not wanting to give Caesar his tribute, which is a lie. Because in this answer, he's going to tell them, give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. He's not opposing giving back that money to him. So this is going to be important, this question. Now, another question, and a Sadducee asked, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection and think angels or things like that, so here they come. This woman had a husband, he died, he married his brother, then he died, and he married his other brother. They made this huge hypothetical example, and then there's a teacher at the school of preaching, and they say, well, what happens if that person is about to die in that millisecond, and then he wants to repent, but that he didn't get to water baptism? And they put this big hypothetical example, and then the professor said, well, then Superman is going to come and carry him to the water. And they said, well, where did you get Superman? Well, the same place where you got that example, which doesn't exist. It's just a hypothetical. It's an exaggeration that you're making. And they're making this exaggeration here as well. So he gives them the answer. Then he comes a lawyer. And then this is the great commandment. And that's a similar account as far as this on the great command, which are the greatest commandments on the Bible. Okay? Are we good so far? Am I going so fast? Too fast? No? Okay. All right. That's Tuesday. Let's see. What else? Okay, I'm going back there. Okay, yeah, I went backwards instead of forward. Okay, now there's a question Jesus proposes which no one can answer. He's asking why David calls the Messiah Lord. Isn't the Lord to be descended of David? Why is he calling him Lord? And then nobody could answer. That's that happened also after those parables. Okay, very good. Now, Matthew 23. A lot of us remember Matthew 23. How do he starts to point the Pharisees and the scribes, and this is his last public discourse. Notice, last public discourse at the temple. He's going to have more discourses. They're going to be what? Private. With his apostles only. So this is his last public discourse, and sure enough, he's just tired of them. He said, I'm going to just tell him the way it is. I'm just going to tell it the way it is. No more parables. I'm just going to be straight. And then he accuses the scribes and Pharisees right straight. Okay? And now at the same temple, we saw that then he wanders around and then he's looking at how people are giving their contribution. And then he sees the widow putting two mites. And then he calls his disciples so they can all see what's going on. That's still at the temple. Same place where some of the Greeks come. They want to see Jesus. And then he tells this wonderful message where he says, if I be raised up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That's in this part of his ministry at the end. Okay, I really love that Bible verse. I think it's verse 49 or 50, either one. And I really love that song that was written from that text. Okay, very good. Now, Matthew 24, you remember? They begin to see, they say, oh, this is wonderful facilities. And he said, well, as the way you see them, remember, there's not going to be stone over stone that's going to be left. And then he foretells the destruction of Jerusalem, and that in the same chapter, the next half of the chapter, he's going to talk about the second coming. Okay? First half talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, and then the second coming. Notice, this day is very busy. He's teaching all over. He's answering questions to everybody. And he's teaching more parables, and noticing the widows, and he's just busy all day long. Okay? Now, If you thought that was all, there's more on that Tuesday. Okay, I think. Okay, yeah, there it is. Let's see. I think I just went backwards. Please excuse me there. Let's see. Okay, more events. Three more parables, also at the temple, and related to the second coming. Okay, the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay, five wise and five fool and. Let's see. I am clicking in the wrong side of the screen. Then the parable of the talents, as well. Also, remember, the background is the second coming. Then the final judgment, where he's going to call and then put some on his side and some on the right and some on the left. Okay, and he's going to give him the reason, because I was thirsty and you did not give me water. I was naked and you did not clothe me, and so on. He's going to give him, and they say, well, when did we see you naked or thirsty or hungry? And they say, if you didn't do it to one of these little ones, you didn't do it to me. That's right there. Okay, now, that was Tuesday, their Tuesday, but still our Tuesday here. Notice what happens next. Jesus predicts his crucifixion. Now he tells them, I'm going to be handed into the hands of men, and they're going to crucify the Son of God. And then the rulers begin to plot. How are they going to get a hold of them to kill him? Now this time we want to kill him now. And then we need to devise, devise a plan, and then the rulers begin to plot on that Tuesday. It didn't take them too long, from Tuesday to Friday, to fulfill their ideas. Okay? And then we see Judas that Tuesday night. He's making the agreement with the 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. Okay? Now, Wednesday, I want to remember, we're getting close to Friday. Now, there's no events registered as far as the gospel accounts on that day. Now, we move to Thursday. Okay? This is, notice, and I put there on the screen, it's already up there. It's our Thursday, but Thursday evening, our Thursday begins their Friday. And notice, and in I think all of the gospel accounts, this Friday is called the preparation day. And it began in the evening. The preparation day, and if you want to make sure what you're talking about, the day before the Sabbath. So Friday was the preparation day. For what? For the Passover. They're going to celebrate the Passover, and that's the way it is known by the Jews, and it is portrayed in the gospel account, the preparation day. Okay? And it begins in the evening again. Okay? What happened that Thursday? Okay? And sure enough, what were they doing? They were preparing for the Passover. And there's I think it's Mark, which the apostles tell Jesus, well, what should we do to prepare for the Passover? And then he said, well, go into the city and then you will see. And he gives them instructions as to what to do. And then they follow instructions. And then there's an instance where the disciples are contending for precedence. Which one is the greatest? Maybe thinking that he was going to establish the kingdom and then he's going to rank them. And they said, well, maybe Peter is the greatest. Maybe John or James, who is the greatest? And then as the evening comes, we begin the preparation day. What happens? John 13, we have Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Okay? And then Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial foretold right there in that room where they were meeting. And then he also establishes the Lord's Supper that night. Okay? And then notice John 14 through 16. He's giving a farewell discourse. And these three chapters, this is another discourse, but this is private discourse to the apostles. He's giving a farewell discourse. And as I was reading this farewell discourse, I couldn't make an outline of it because it touches different subjects. But two subjects are strong on the farewell discourse. Number one, what is the purpose of giving the Holy Spirit? Why is the Holy Spirit coming? And also, what the Holy Spirit is going to do? That's some of the strongest topics on the farewell discourse. And remember also that at the beginning he says, believe in God, believe also in me, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's how he begins. But there's a lot of doctrine on the Holy Spirit in that farewell discourse. Okay? And now, John 17 also, the Lord's Prayer. As he was there with them, he begins to pray. And we have that prayer recorded in John 17. Prayer of unity for his disciples. Okay, what else happened on that Friday? Matthew 26 and Mark, they said when they have sung the hymn, they went into the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, Judas had already left the meeting. And some believe that Judas wasn't even there, but Judas had already left. He was not with them at that moment. He was arranging to bring the mob that were going to come with fire and sticks and whatever to come get Jesus, and then they were going to go meet him at Gethsemane. Jesus could have just gone somewhere else if he didn't want to be crucified, but he went to Gethsemane where Judas was going to come with everybody. Okay, then that's where we stopped last week, and then we'll just move on as time permits and see what other events happen. Okay, then Jesus Now, when we talk about Gethsemane, John tells us it's across the brook Kidron, towards the Mount of Olives. And that's where the garden is, somewhere around that area. Okay? And then Matthew tells us, when he's in Gethsemane, that he prayed 3 times. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as I as you will. 3 times he prayed that prayer, Matthew tells us. And then all the gospel accounts agree that Jesus said he was sorrowful, extremely sorrowful. But then it's from Luke's account, which I don't have there on that parenthesis, but it's in Luke's account where we learn that Jesus' sweat was as big drops of blood. It's Luke the one who tells us that, and also Luke tells us, is the only one who tells us that the angel came to strengthen him. So we combine all these accounts. Some give more detail, some are more general, but that's where we get the teaching from Luke. Okay? Now the rest, we have the rest when Jesus is betrayed, and then we have all the accounts, of course, and then Judas came with great multitude, and then Matthew tells us Judas kissed, and Jesus said, "Friend, why have you come?" That's what Matthew tells us that Jesus said. But then Luke tells us that Jesus answered Judas, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with the kiss?" And then we combine all that account. And then John tell us, as far as when he was arrested, that he asked 3 times at least, "Who are you seeking? Who are you seeking?" And then one of those times, people fell to the ground. And that's from John's account, as far as his arrest. Okay, and just let me see if I'm missing anything else. And then he said, "I am he. I am he whom you're looking for." Okay, any comments so far? Any questions? Okay, good. As long as there are not any Johns, I'm fine. All right? Very good. Now, he's taken arrested. And let me show you. He's taken, if I can click correctly here. Oh, I see why. This one went to sleep, but it should go back. There we go. Okay. Now, he's taken straight to be judged, supposedly to be judged. But first thing happens, they take him to Annas. Annas was taken away from high priest. And it was Caiaphas who was the high priest then. But they may still consider Annas as a moral high priest or something. But they took him to Annas to be examined. And there with Annas, Annas asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. That's the question he asked Jesus. And then Jesus, remember how he replied? He said, "All the time I've been with you, teaching openly. And everybody knows my doctrine. You can ask my disciples, they'll tell you my doctrine." That's the way Jesus replied. "Why are you asking me about my disciples and my doctrine?" And then one of the officers took that as an offense, and he struck Jesus. Said, "Is that the way you address the high priest?" And then Jesus replied, "Well, if I have offended, tell me where." He's just answering Annas. So Annas couldn't do anything, or he was seen by Annas, but Annas then sent him to Caiaphas, which is the second part of the trial. And then they were related. They were father and son-in-law right here. And then right where Caiaphas is, let me just pick my place here. Okay, there were the chief priest, the elders, the council. There were everybody that is the Sanhedrin. The most important people of... we don't know if there were all 70 there or not, but they say the priests, the elders, the council, they were all there. And then they were trying to find a way to condemn him. And then they say there were people coming and they were trying to find somebody who would witness against him. And then there were two false witnesses that came and sat at Caiaphas' house that say, "This man said, This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. That's what the false witnesses said. Do you remember where, in which instance did Jesus said this? It was way, way ago at the first cleansing of the temple. If we read the first account of the cleansing in John 2, that's when Jesus said, I will destroy this temple of God and build it in 3 days. So they're trying to use that against him. And let me see. But Mark tells us that not even the testimony of those two gentlemen, false witnesses, agree. They were all both telling different things. And they just couldn't find a way to as far as witnesses, to condemn him. Okay? And notice, I wanted to make a point here. But they accuse Jesus of being a blasphemous, of blaspheming. But then Luke makes it clear that as they are reviling, as they are hitting, as they are mocking Jesus, the ones that are blaspheming, guess who are? The ones that are judging him. They're the ones who are blaspheming, and they're accusing him of blaspheming. It's just sick. It's couldn't get any worse than that. Okay. Now there's a brief parenthesis that again, thank you, Josh. Yeah, I was getting really excited here. Okay. A brief parenthesis to explain what happened with Peter. Okay. Peter denies the Lord, 3 times. And they were at the courtyard of Caiaphas. And then it was John who let him in to the courtyard, because John was known by the high priest and he had friends. And so they said, let him in. And they let him in, and Peter was there. And that's where he denies the Lord. And then that's where the rooster crows. And notice, we are still late Friday night, or rather Thursday night for us. It's late, late. Now, Peter is denying. Remember they were at the fireplace. It was pitch dark. It was really dark. It was deep into the night. Could it be still before midnight, or could it be maybe 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning, around that range? But as we were living before in January, March and April, Nancy and I, we were living in Palenque, South Mexico. And believe me, there's a lot of roosters at the neighbor's house. And it's a loud, loud place. We were living next to a jungle, basically. And you could hear in the morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. the monkeys. These, they call them Sarawato monkeys. The small monkeys, but they're really loud. They shout and do all kind of racket up there, and really loud. And if the rooster didn't wake you up, the monkeys will. And also we had aluminum roof ceiling. So, and it pours quite often down there, so you can hear each other when it rains. So it's a lot of noise. So I'll tell you, if I was able to sleep through all of that, I can sleep through anything now. But the roosters, some of them are overachievers, and they start singing 2 a.m. in the morning. So what's wrong with these roosters? Shouldn't they start at 5 at least? But no, some of them were just off. They needed to adjust the time. And so we see the same thing happening here. So there's a rooster at this time of the night, midnight, 1 a.m., and if you're familiar with these animals, you might agree that this happens. But there's one crowing that late on Friday and Thursday night. And really early for a regular rooster. So that's what happens right there. Okay? Now let me move on, because the time is flying. Okay. Yeah, my laptop is just going to sleep more often, more quickly. Okay, thank you, yes. All right. We'll continue now on our Friday, which is, notice, all that happened in just one day. Everything, now this is still Friday for them, but they, if they wanted to kill Jesus, they had to move quickly. Quickly. Why? Because, notice at the bottom, Friday night was coming, which meant the what? Jewish Saturday, and then they drop everything. At least, in theory. And some of them did, some of them didn't, but that's what they celebrated. Okay, let me just move real quick here. So we have the second stage of Jesus's trial, and he's condemned by the Sanhedrin. He said, this man is condemned to death, but sadly they couldn't kill him themselves because they didn't have that right to do it, but they already condemned him. And then they take him to Pilate, and then John tells us a beautiful account of that encounter with Jesus and Pilate. And then Pilate says, well, isn't he a Galilean? They say, yeah, he is. Okay, well, Herod is in town. Herod is the one that should judge him. Herod Antipas is the one who is in charge of the Galileans. Now, this Herod Antipas was the same Herod who did what? No, that was Herod the Great. But he did kill a very dear cousin of Jesus, yeah. And I don't think Jesus didn't want to even have anything to do with him. And he was a mocker, so Jesus didn't even talk to him. And then Herod said, well, send him back to Pilate then, if you don't want to talk to me. So Pilate tries as much as he can to not condemn him. He says, I don't find anything guilty in this man. This man is not guilty. And in fact, Pilate was impressed at Jesus. But they continue to, and then Jesus was accused of provoking a riot, stirring the people. But yeah, Jesus did stir the people's hearts, but not for rioting. But here we see that the leaders, they're the ones now stirring the people for rioting. And then they ask for crucifixion. And then we have that account of Judas killing himself. Looks like Judas didn't know he was going to be killed that way, or he was going to be treated that way, because in Mark we read that Judas said, take him safely. Yeah, right, they're going to take him safely. They want to kill him. And it looks like maybe Judas didn't understand. And when he found out what happened, then he said, well, I'm not worthy to be living. Now, we have Simon of Cyrene on the way to the cross, helping him carry his cross. And then we have the first 3 hours of his crucifixion. And I'm just moving fast because I know the bell is going to ring. And we have the 7 sayings. I don't have the order of them, but I know which ones came first because they came in the first 3 hours from 9 o'clock until noon. That same Friday morning, all this, Pilate and Herod, it was early in the morning on that day, because they had to hurry up. And then, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. One of the phrases, second one, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He told one of the thieves who repented. Now, woman, behold your son. And then to John said, behold your mother. And that's the first 3 sayings. Okay, now, came another 3 hours when the darkness fell upon the earth from noon to 3 p.m. And then we have 4 more sayings. Eli, Eli, and then these are not in order. I don't know which order they are. But he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he said, at some point, I thirst. And then, for sure, these are 2 of the last ones. It is finished. And then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And that's the 7 sayings we have recorded. And sometimes I say, well, didn't he say more? Maybe he said more sayings. But I say, well, maybe that's all he said. Remember, he was dying. He was dying. And it was not a place to be just talking on the air. What he said here, it's very important. Okay? And let me see. Okay, Jesus is buried by one of his disciples, hidden disciple, that went and asked for his body. And notice, that's when the evening had come, and the Sabbath drew near. That's when he went and asked for the body, and he was buried. And then notice, and to finish, and they rested the Sabbath according to the law. Nothing done on that Saturday except, notice this, for the leaders who went and asked for a guarding of the tomb. And, they did that on a Saturday. Okay? That's basically an overview of the events of the last week. Thank you so much for your attention. I'm not going to ask if I have any questions because it's time for us to finish. Thank you.